90-minute tape converted to 60 minutes. Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview of Rose Wong, interview number 80. This is now tape number 4.
Talk about your working experience.
Well, when I, before I got married, I was working at this gift shop up on Figueroa and Wilshire.
That's American?
It was a Chinese gift shop.
Who owns it?
It was owned by the Feng Yan. And then, his son is Feng Kim, right here in Chinatown. Feng Kim is his son. But anyway, he at that time had a gift shop. And so I worked for them for, quite a while, maybe about a couple of years, I think. Then after that, before I got married, this is before I got married, then another man had another store, and Mrs. Mei Wong's brother asked me if I want to go and work. His name is Peter, and he already passed away. Asked me if I want to work in this gift shop. And so this man asked me if I want to work, and so I said, and it happened to be an uncle, you know, and he knows my mother. And so I said, I don't mind working, you know, for you, you know, at the gift shop. And so I went there to work, and so in the meantime, while I was that I worked for was Feng Yan's gift shop. But then at that time, I think it was about $1.50 an hour, $1.50. I think it is, I'm not too sure, but it's around there, it wasn't very much. Then after that, then I, this new shop opened and they asked me to work, so I went and worked for this own family. But I don't know the name of the store. I don't know, was it Canton or what is it? It was something like that. And it was, I didn't get very much. I don't remember how much it was.
As a sales lady.
As a sales lady. And as a dust and everything, every day, you know, to do that. And then,
did you give the money to your mother?
I gave her some, and I kept some, because I have to take the streetcar and all that. I kept some. But then, after that, then I, while I was working there, Peter was engaged. And so, then he was teasing me. He said that I was engaged, and I said, oh, I said, how do you know? And so we were just teasing each other. And
so Peter also worked there?
Yeah, he was working there as a salesman, but he's an outside salesman, you know.
I thought he graduated from USC.
But then he was working there too.
But at that time, he didn't have a job as an engineer.
I don't know. He wasn't an engineer then.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he was, because this was before he got married. But it was a year that he was engaged and I was engaged, and then he was teasing me all the time. So I went to his wedding, but they didn't. Wedding, whereas my wedding was just a small wedding, you know. And then they had a big reception. That's all.
Where did you have the reception?
The reception was at this Grandview Garden. at that time. That's the one that Toy had the, her party there too. That was the, that building was newly built, and the restaurant was new, you know. So it's owned by Wong, see.
What's the Chinese name of it?
Grandview Garden.
The Chinese name?
Chinese name. No, Chinese,
Lokun Yun. Okay.
Yeah. So I had the big party there, you know.
That Peter Su has a reception.
He had a big wedding, a church wedding.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's a Wuxi Presbyterian or what. I went, but I don't remember where. But I know it was a big wedding. You know. And we had a big family, you know, and both sides, big family, you know. So, of course, being that my... my aunt is Mrs. May Wong's sister, mm-hmm. you know. Of course, we're sort of related, like, uh-huh. so we all went, you know. And so my grandmother at that time was alive. She went too.
How many people were invited at that time?
Oh, I don't know how many hundred. There were hundreds of people. Uh-huh. I couldn't exactly say. I would say maybe all ten was there at least. 300 to 400 people or more, you know. There's a lot of people, you know.
Well, I'll go back to the work.
Yeah, so and then I went back, go back to my work, and then worked with this young people for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got married, so I had to retire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had to quit. So after that, then I had my kids. I had two kids, and then my pregnant was my third daughter,
uh-huh.
and then the Song family, Song Fei, and then now they still have a store that the son runs it, and then they have a store right on the Sandy Street,
uh-huh.
and the old man, my husband, said that.
That's the
FCO
family company.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I work for them.
Living in Old Chinatown or
They consider Old Chinatown,
okay.
but it's right on the Sandy Street.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I worked for them for two times.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I worked for them is when when I was pregnant with my number three daughter.
When was that about?
I think around 1930,
uh-huh.
you know, somewhere around 1930,
mm-hmm.
but the early part of the year, and that mm-hmm. was when she was born, June,
mm-hmm.
but this is the early part of the year. They said they need help because this lady was working for them. She quit, and
mm-hmm.
so asked to work for them temporarily. So I worked for them for a while. And
how much you made then?
Yeah, I really don't know
okay.
how much I made.
Mm-hmm. Get up.
And, but anyway, I worked there for a while, and then my mother took care of the kids
mm-hmm.
and the two girls. And then after that, and then the old man had a warehouse sale.
Mm-hmm.
Just after I had the kid already. And then he had a warehouse sale, and then he asked me if I come work for them again. So they had a warehouse say about a block from where they are, and so I went there, and then they had sales, and then we have to put an inventory, you know, mark all things that they want to sell and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite an experience, and then they had to, they were selling all this to how do you call that, the broker?
Mm-hmm.
And then the broker hired some people to come, you know, the Jewish people, and they came and they, more or less, they took over, and yet we're working for the FCON and working for them too. But then, a couple times, you know, they had tonghua,
uh-huh.
Chinese candy, uh-huh. and nuts and all that. These are all down the basement, you know.
Uh-huh.
They have it down the basement. He had a big basement, just as big as a store.
Mm-hmm.
All the things are down below. And you know, one time I went down there. This is the first time that I worked, not the second time, the first time. Mm-hmm. I went down to the basement. I was gone for about 15 or 20 minutes. And then the old man, the big boss, came running down and said, "Rosie, Rosie, where are you?" You know. I said, "I'm down here." I said, "You come down there." And I'm going, "They're going to find out." Uh-huh. And I was standing on a big box, and I had that big jar right in my hand, and he said, "What's the matter with you?" And I said, "There's a couple rats that big, you know, running around here." And he said, "You no, no, yeah." I said, "What are you afraid of a rat for? If the rat is afraid of you." So I said, "You stay right there, and I'm going to run upstairs." So I ran back upstairs, and then he came back up, and he said, "I'm sore." I said, "I'm no nerd, and you're afraid of a rat." He said, "You're bigger than a rat, and you're afraid of a rat." And I said, "Oh," I said, "from now on, I'm not going to go down that basement no more." And then, you know, he's smart. Got a big box, open box, and he's got a big sack of rice open up there. And they're eating the rice so they don't eat his merchandise, see? Uh-huh. That's why he's got that. And, oh, I thought I'd die, you know. I just stood on the big box there, and I wasn't going to move, you know. So he came for me, you know, uh-huh. And I said, "Oh." And that was that, you know. And I said, after that, and then I worked for him for a while. And then I retired there. Mm-hmm. Then in 1947, I think I had an operation. Uh-huh. And I was still working for the Diamond Shirt, too. Mm-hmm. And I was working part-time here and there. Then because I had all these kids going to school, high school and everything.
So and you need to work
yeah,
to help.
So I had to make enough money to provide for them, you know, even though the rent was cheap, you know.
Did your husband then?
Well, he sent me a certain
some
amount,
money,
you know,
uh-huh.
every month, but still, you know,
not
wasn't
quite
enough,
enough,
you know. Uh-huh. And so I said, well, after I moved here in 1947 operation, 49, we moved here. Uh-huh. And then 1950, because during the war, Second World War, I was working at Segundo already, Douglas.
Uh-huh.
And then I worked 1940, 41, I think almost 42, and then I quit.
Uh-huh.
So then after that, then I have a girlfriend that's working out at Santa Monica, Douglas.
Uh-huh.
So this is 1951.
Uh-huh.
So she asked me one day if I would like to come back and work for Douglas. I said, "No." I said, "I'm retired." I said, I can still work. And I said, "I don't think I really care to go all the way out there." So anyway, she made an appointment for me.
Mm-hmm.
So this was in 1951.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted me to go out there for an interview. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't drive or nothing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this friend that is a friend of one of the girls, and I asked him if he would take me out there, you know, to Santa Monica. So I went out there, and then they took me, to have, you know, you have to go through all these,
is it test or interview?
Yeah,
or
we have to go through this security.
Security,
you know? Yeah,
uh-huh.
Security. And they ask you, you know, if you have, what is your
background,
business of coming here and everything. I said, I came to see so and so, you know. So and then they have somebody come down from the office on the lab, and then they took me upstairs. So they introduced me to the supervisor, introduced me to the manager and her boss and
mm-hmm.
different people.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, and she showed me the different type of work that she does.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, "Well, this is sort of interesting, you know." And so they gave me a piece of paper, you know, application to fill out. So I filled out there, or came home and I filled out. Or I came home and filled out, and I took it over to her house, and she took it back to the plant. And then after that, then they got away, they hired me.
Mm-hmm.
They hired, then I had to go through physical and all that.
What
then,
type of job? What kind of job you do there?
This is in the lab.
Uh-huh.
And I work at the laboratory, and then they have to do, it's called string gauge.
Uh-huh.
String gauge, we make these string gauge. At that time when I worked, whole California, nobody make it.
Uh-huh.
And there's no manufacturer of it. We're the only one, she and I are the only one that manufacture it. And I learned to pick up that job just like that in a matter of a month, you know. And I have to be sitting on a high power microscope all day long. And she has a desk over there and I have a desk over there. And then nobody can walk behind us. And if they walk behind us, they stomp their foot. And working on the microscope, high power microscope, and the wire that I'm working with is finer than my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I am soldering this wire, and if somebody walked behind me stomping their foot or something, the wire just broke like that. And so we have to be very secluded in this one area that we work. And so I worked up in the lab there 12 years. At Douglas, and then totally I worked in Douglas about 20 years.
You mean you were in El Segundo Douglas also?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That was during the war.
Well, in the beginning when I first worked at Douglas was in El Segundo.
Mm-hmm.
But I was riveting at that time. But not the work that I was doing after before I retired. I was working after lab there.
But in El Segundo, you just do the...
We were doing riveting work.
Mm-hmm.
And drilling.
Mm-hmm.
Drilling and riveting.
Uh-huh. A lot of Chinese women there? Or?
Well, very few.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of them. And then hardly any Oriental
mm-hmm.
when I worked.
Mm-hmm.
There may be the whole plant, I think, was only about two.
Mm-hmm.
In El Segundo, I mean, this
mm-hmm.
was during the war.
Mm-hmm. That's 1940.
So I was very, always picked upon as a Japanese.
Uh-huh.
And there was one time that I was working at this couple saw that they, they're Okies, you know. They don't know any better. And they come around and they said that I was Japanese and I should be back in the camp.
Mm.
And so anyway, they had this steel metal buckling bar. You have somebody buck on this side and the other one rip it, you know, so the nail has to be flat on one side and that. So anyway, he threw this buckling bar at me, you know, on the floor. Slide over to my foot there so that I'm not Chinese, I'm Japanese, you know. So then he teased me by throwing these rivets at me, you know. And so I said, better quit. I'm not going to quit. I said, I'm going to do something to you. So he finally, he didn't quit. He kept on doing that. Every time he has a couple of these rivets in his hand, he just threw it at me, you know. He threw it at my neck, you know. So I just threw the bucket bar and smiled right at him, you know, on the floor. But I said, from now on, I said, you better not touch me. I said, I'm going to go and report you.
Mm-hmm.
So then from then on, he never did bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And but since then, I worked there for about a year and a half, or almost 2 years. And then I quit because it was night. You know,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't daytime. It was nighttime.
Oh, how did you get that job?
At that time, there was quite a few plants. I mean, offices that was open. They were soliciting people to go to work. And so I just said, everybody's going to war and everything, and I can't do anything. I said, go and get a job at
mm-hmm.
aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I went and applied for it. I went, this is down in somewhere in Flower Street or someplace. There was a place that sell automobile, and they closed up, and they had all these officers, about 20 or more desks that was open and interviewing people. So I went and I got the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, they were paying you so much.
How much they pay you?
60 cents an hour, I think. And mm-hmm. then if you work at night, you get 65 cents, and they're teaching you how to do the work, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was working there for about a year and a half, 2 years. And then after that, then I quit, and then I worked for the Diamond Shirt Company. From there, then we moved here. And I, after I moved here, I work in, for Diamond Shirt once in a while, when my son pick it up for me, and then I work for a while. But then I said, after I had my operation, I didn't feel like I wanted to work.
Mm-hmm.
So then my girlfriend called me in 1951 and asked me to go for this interview. So I went out for this interview. Mm-hmm. And so after they took my application, I already got the job.
Mm-hmm.
So after I got the job, and then the boss that hired me, he said that they could have, you know, hired me sooner. They could have hired me sooner. You know, they didn't know that I could pick it up just like that. And so, everything that I worked at, wire and everything, then you have to paste on a tissue paper,
mm-hmm.
like cigarette paper, you know, paper, and then after I paste the wire, it's just, it's, the wire has to go this way and
mm-hmm.
this way,
mm-hmm.
and it's, it goes on model,
mm-hmm.
and it's the model, eventually they make a big plane. The model that we built is just as big as this room,
right.
but that's the model. Then, the work that, excuse me, that I, this girl and I do, this lady, is just being done in Santa Monica. Eventually, a different company manufacture it.
Right.
So when they manufacture it, they don't need handwork.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So after we make do the handwork and all that, then we have to wire it and everything. So then we have to check it in the scope and all that. There's all that kind of work we do, you know. I thought it was very interesting.
Do you get more money then?
Oh yeah, I work up to I got about $375 or something like that
an hour.
But then after that, then I. Then after that, and then the work that I did at the lab was about 12 years. Then from there, they transferred me out to a missile building. Then I was doing harder work.
Oh.
Then I figured that I was very welcome there and everything, but the work that I have to do, that I, it's just like a tunnel,
uh-huh.
a big round tunnel. And when they transferred me down there, I was the smallest. And all these guys, a big guy and everything. There's four person that work in this this missile.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big tank.
Yeah, I brought you some orange.
You say it's also Santa Monica, right? You transferred
yeah,
to a different
Santa Monica,
office.
But of course, Santa Monica now, you know, they
it's no longer.
They it's closed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all. In one plant out here in the, where is it? It's McDonnell Douglas.
Uh-huh.
They combined with McDonnell Douglas.
Uh-huh,
it's
right.
Now what they call
uh-huh.
it. Out in Newport.
Right.
Newport
uh-huh. Newport Beach. Mm-hmm.
And so that they have a new plant out there.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was working, they figured that they transferred me out there, and then I was working with these four men.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came, they disqualify one guy, and so they have me. And so these guys are all bigger than me. So the work that I did, that I had to put my head down and have to be up that way to solder, you know, do the soldering job up there, soldering the wire and everything. And an inspector came, and the inspector said, "Who did the job?" I said, "Is this road there? We're not going to go up there." And I said, "I didn't." And I said to these fellow, and I said, "I don't know what they do without, you know, what did they do when before I came?" He said, "Sure, they did the job, but they have to redo.
Oh.
Every time they do it, but they have to be redone by somebody else." So I said, "Well," I said, "every time that I do it,"
mm-hmm.
they, even the inspector said they don't have to look at it, they'll
mm-hmm.
spy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Same inspection, you know, they have the inspection. Every time you do a job, they inspect it. If it's good, they buy it. If it's no good, they have to redo it.
Mm-hmm.
But After a while, I got to the point that I was so tired, I jump in and jump out, climb up and down, and I said, oh, I'm tired. So I said, I think when I'm 60, I'm going to retire. They said, you're kidding, you're not even 60. So when I'm 60, I retire.
Uh-uh.
So that's what I've been, retired since then.
Oh, I see. So when you were in El Segundo working there, how many hours did you work in the evening?
Well, at first I was taking the streetcar, and I took it all the way down to Manchester. Then from Manchester, I had to transfer to a bus. So a bus take us all the way to the plant. So that's where, you know, that's where I got there. Then gradually, eventually, I know different people that was working there. I know I asked them if they would pick me, you know, so they picked me, you know. Then I had a cousin, Mr. Wong, you know, and the most funniest was that I was living at Sanchez Street. And this man, every night about 11:30, he leaves the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, what in the world, where does he go anyway? I thought he worked in a produce market. So one day I said to him, I said, Where do you work anyway, you know? So he said, I'll work out in El Segundo, you know, Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I said, are you kidding? He said, no, I'm not kidding. He said, that's where I've been working. I said, good. I said, now I have a ride. I said, you drive and I'll be one of your riders. He said, I have two other riders. And I said, good. I said, this is that Quan boy, you know.
Uh-huh.
So finally, he interchanged with this Wong man, you know, that they drive, you drive 1 week, I drive 1 week. And so this Wong man had another cousin, Wong. So he picked her up, and then he picked me up, and then picked this Quan boy up, and then he picked another Lu boy up, and then another Caucasian lady. So we have a carload, you know. And so at night about 11:30,
mm-hmm.
They pick me up, and then they bring me back about 7:30. You know, we get off of work at 7.
Oh,
so we get home about 7:30.
The whole evening.
7:30, 7:45, we'll get home.
I see. Did you mention that you at that time you also owned a gift shop?
I didn't have my gift shop then.
I see.
Now, this is before. This
uh-huh.
is before I, I had my gift shop. But the girls is running it, you know, at night, and they close it up, you know, when I, see, I, every evening, I cook dinner,
mm-hmm.
and I go from work, I go home and sleep, about, let us say, about 12 o'clock, I sleep till about 3 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and I start cooking. And then, after cooking, about 8 o'clock, I go to the store,
mm-hmm.
and then I see the kids, how the kids doing, so about 9 o'clock, they close up, you know, so. Then about 8:30, and then 8:30 or 9 or something like that, I come home with them, you know. Then about 11 o'clock, I leave, take the bus, another bus, the streetcar, and I go to work.
Wow, that's hard.
Yeah, that was hard work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing, the kids are all kind of growing up, you know.
How many kids did you
have? Four.
Oh.
Three girls and a boy, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the boy was, he was about 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
They were 2 years apart.
Uh-huh.
So then she was starting to go to high school.
Oh.
Then the other going to junior high school and
mm-hmm.
grammar school, you know, and so.
So she can take care of the.
Yeah, they can take care of
brothers.
But I think the Lord was with me because I managed, you know, quite a bit, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have any trouble, heart trouble or nothing till I retired, then I have heart trouble.
You're really working
yeah.
hard.
End tape.